B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. Patriots! And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich real quick before we get to Will Brinson. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, it's so frustrating listening to you talk about football. You like the two biggest NFL dumpster fires in league history, the Jets and the Lions. I feel like it's every year. Oh, this is the year the Jets are going to knock off the Patriots. Oh, the Jets.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm really positive.
That was you a week and a half ago. That was you last week.
Last week I was all about them, yeah. Good listening skills.
You've been about them for years.
I'm a huge Jet fan.
Every
they
year,
suck.
Oh yeah, the Jets are going to come up. The Jets are come up.
Last week, what did I say last week about the Jets?
So they're going to lose.
At what point did I say that the Jets were going to win a game this year? Unless the offseason, maybe.
Yeah, probably. I don't remember.
Well, what are you going
to do? Real quick, before we go to Will, Brinson. No new positive tests for Tennessee. That's 3 days in a row. They're going to play tonight. But the funniest thing is, you would think for this game, which is undefeated against undefeated, Tennessee against Buffalo, you would fly in Nance and Romo and do it that way. Apparently, the broadcasting team is Tom McCarthy and Jay Feely on national TV.
Oh, the Feel Man getting some love.
Tom McCarthy apparently does TV play-by-play for the Phillies. They're going to bring him in. He's going to call the game with Jay Feely tonight on national TV at 7.
I thought Jay Feely, if you told me he was still in the NFL, I would have said Jay Feely's still
exactly.
in the NFL.
Exactly. This is the Beasley-Reese tandem that the Patriots fans had back in the 90s when they were awful.
I like the Randy Cross years. So.
That's right.
All right. Will Brinson is a senior writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Will Brinson.
What's going on, fellas? I don't know if I like to walk into a bunch of Jay Feely slander, but you know, whatever. You know,
yeah, I was. You really? Again, you read that right? Of course. I thought he was still playing. What do I know about what Jay Feely's up to? I've never heard him do a game. Maybe I have, but
I would guess that it has something to do with whoever is calling Texans Titans for CBS this coming week, because we have the Texans play again on Sunday. I mean, it's Tuesday. So, like, you're not going to, like, fly Nance and Romo into Nashville if they've got to be, say, Nance and Romo are calling Jets Dolphins.
Yes, I would imagine.
Sunday.
As long as I don't have to hear Romo, I'm fine. Romo's awful.
What?
Romo's the only guy I can't stand.
Well, that's a terrible take.
Okay, I will give you evidence. I will give you audio evidence of it.
All right, you look that up.
No, Chiefs Bills, by the way, is Monday.
I don't have to look it up. All right, yes. This is the Edelman pick. This is they're playing Kansas City. This is the Honey Badger. This is the interception that goes through Edelman's hands. Here is Tony Romo, and tell me this is not insufferable.
Well, this one's tough because you're going to take the safe throw, but watch what happens right here. It's a fake, and you're just going to fire to the sideline. But I believe, Jim, I genuinely believe for a guy at Edelman's ability, okay? This is crazy. Maybe I shouldn't say it.
But say it anyway.
Watch his head. His head turns and tries to go field, right? I genuinely believe he just hasn't been a huge part of the offense all game. And now all of a sudden, you're running a flat route. Okay. And now all of a sudden you're running
it. All right, shut up. Just say it. What are you, my mom? Get it out. All right, jeez. Thank you. I know you work for CBS. I can't be insulted.
Yeah, you're not gonna have me.
Right. I know you didn't like that either, but we'll keep it between ourselves.
You better be careful. You never know how high the tentacles of power reach.
I know when Jim Gray is coming after your career as well as he did with me. I mean, I can't get Tony Romo off. All right, Will, looking at what we know now, what is your feeling on the Patriots not playing last night? Do you think that's something that would have been a positive? Do you think that's something that probably should have happened, or you're glad it didn't?
That would have been positive, all right. No, I'm glad. I think it's probably smart not to play. I mean, it felt like they were in a situation where, you know, you can push it back and play it safe and not try to force the issue. And I think that's, like, I think that's really important for the NFL in 2020. But I mean, every time they force the issue, it's sort of like digging. You know, it's like digging your own. You know, like you're in a hole and you keep digging. And the reality is, you just got to take the rope, pull yourself up, you know, and take your medicine. I mean, you can't. You're not going to dig yourself out of this hole by forcing games to be played. You know, especially when you talk about, all right, let's say Patriots and Broncos is played on Monday, and then, you know, somebody from the Patriots ends up testing positive, and then somebody from the Broncos ends up testing positive, and like now it's all of a sudden this cascading effect, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it just needs to be a situation where, like, they have time on their side. That's what I don't understand. Like, the NFL is not in a rush to finish the season. No one is going anywhere. It's like you have infinite amount of time.
But what's the deal with the Super Bowl? Because we've been told, like, it's impossible to move. Like if you wanted to move this,
who told you that?
We've been told that by a few people that if you move the Super Bowl, that in order to have the Super Bowl, it requires, you know, all these logistics that can't reasonably be moved.
I'm probably going to get myself fired on this phone call, but I don't think that's the case. I don't
say
think
some racist.
No, I just know.
All right. Okay, so you don't think.
All I'm saying is, my understanding that Tampa has the stadium is free for several weeks after the planned Super Bowl date. Of course, it would be a massive pain in the ass to move the Super Bowl back 2 weeks. If you do that, it's a huge pain. You're changing permits. You're changing, like, all kinds of schedule, you're changing everything. It's a huge pain. No one wants to deal with it. You want to do the season on time if you could do it. But they just had to switch 8 games around because the Patriots and Broncos couldn't play on Monday night in week 5. Like, you don't, I mean, how about this? At the very least, take the week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, cancel it now, and either add a bye for everybody in week 12 and have that as a makeup date for anything that happens between now and then and you get rested and tested, or add a week 18 onto the season.
Why do it now?
So you don't have to deal with this crap every time somebody pops up positive.
Yeah, but if you do it now, it's like almost four. I mean, you're going to do it, but I don't know the advantage of doing it now.
So you're planning ahead instead of reacting. The NFL always reacts to everything. Be proactive.
Do you have a problem with the way this season's been played?
No, I think the NFL's done a pretty good job, but I mean, this is pretty clearly just not going to be the end of the issue.
No, I know, but they have to stay fluid, is my opinion on it. I think they've done a good job as well, but they have to stay fluid. So, you know how, like, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 canceled their seasons, and there was no reason for them to do it when they did it? I kind of look at this.
It's not the same thing at all.
Well, I think it is. I think that when you're talking about logistics, that there's no reason to play your hand sooner than you have to. Like, it doesn't behoove them in it. So take that back, that snarky comment. So, because now you agree. Because why would I? No, I don't. Okay, so you don't agree. So what's it?
Two college leagues canceled their season. They're like, we're out. We're done. We are not playing football. And I'm saying that the NFL could be like, we're going to add a little flexibility to our
But team. Why do it now? What's the advantage of doing it now? What's the disadvantage of not doing it now?
Because no one knows what is happening.
So what does it matter if you and I know what's happening?
Okay, I mean, I guess, a little transparency and a little preparation would be nice for once.
So you don't like the way the season's been played?
No, I mean, I think the season has gone off fairly well. What is this, Judge Ito's court of law? Like, what is happening here? Well, I mean, this is, like, yeah, I think the season has been fine. But, I mean, I don't think that anybody would look at, like, how the NFL handled the Patriots-Broncos situation as competitively fair. Like, the whole goal should be to get as much competitive balance as you possibly can in a season where everything is, like, constantly going to be moving. And you can do that if you build in the week 18. Like, what's better, Patriots-Broncos being played in week 18 or moving around half of the Dolphins and Chargers' schedule and completely changing, like, 8 different games
I can answer that. In a perfect world, it would be playing week 18. However, I am under the assumption that these situations are going to happen throughout the season.
So why not build in the extra week in the middle of the season?
No, because if I schedule that game right now for week 18, what happens the next time this goes on? Then my hands are tied. Then I have to move everything again anyway. So if I'm the NFL, you're looking at me like I'm not making sense. I'm making perfect sense.
I'm concentrating to try and figure out what your point
is. Because if I'm the NFL and I figured out, okay, I'm moving this game and there's a way I can do it by jettisoning these parts, if I instead just go, all right, we're rescheduling it for week 18, then in 4 weeks when I have another COVID issue, that week 18's off the table.
Okay, so why don't we do both then? Why don't we have a week 12 that's free and move everything back and then build in an extra week after that and move the Super Bowl
because
back?
Because they don't want to move the Super Bowl.
I know they don't want to.
How about the fact that you have these issues that are constantly popping up? You don't know when they're going to happen. There is a surge of cases of COVID-19 cases in multiple spots. It's like going up here in North Carolina again. Wisconsin, it's popping like crazy. How are you not going to plan a 2 week break between the regular season and the playoffs? Like, you're going to get something what if Cam Newton's COVID case popped up after week 17 and you have to start the playoffs right away with Brian Hoyer? I mean, is that fair?
No, but I mean, neither is it fair if Cam Newton tears his Achilles and misses the rest of the season.
This is a way to keep things as fair as possible, Fred.
I don't say that they shouldn't add another week. Okay, again, I will repeat myself. Perhaps I'm not being clear. The NFL is going to add a week 18. Mm-hmm. They are. Mm-hmm. Okay? My point is, why do it right now if you wait until you absolutely have to do it? Because that buys you time and you get games in. So the later that you have to announce the week 18 and start scheduling it, the better it is, because it's the more you have far more likelihood of getting the games in time.
I think the difference
this is like the argument against going for two when you're down 15. You're like, no, just take it now, because then you know that you're still in the game. It's like, who cares? You still have to get a 2-point conversion. Like, just do it so you know what you have to do moving forward, so you're not like doing it by the seat of your pants. Like, the more information and the more information you have at your disposal about what the plan is and what's gonna happen, the better off you are. And look, I'm not saying that every fan and every journalist needs to know what is happening exactly with the NFL, but like, you know, we've sort of been led to believe they didn't have a whole lot of contingency plans. And then, you know, it, like 1 o'clock on Sunday, they dropped this, by the way, here's the new schedule. I mean, it's like they're trying to play games on Tuesday. They're trying to play games on Wednesday. Like, just space this thing out a little bit more, move it back now, create some wiggle room, and you won't have to be trying to force these teams to play on short weeks. The Chiefs are going to have to play 3 games in 10 days because, like, the Titans screwed up or something.
So let's get to that. Okay, so what we do know is we know that the Patriots did get screwed in Kansas City, in that you can say what you want about having to fly out there that day. I just think that kind of goes with the territory of what we're dealing with now. But let's talk about the locker room situation in Kansas City. Apparently, the Patriots asked for more room in the locker room to avoid, you know, being on top of each other with COVID, and the league denied them that. Have you heard anything about why that would be the case?
I have not heard anything about it. Okay. That's actually the first. That's the first I've heard. It's not buzzing nationally. I hadn't heard anybody mention it. I'm not surprised that that is a hot topic locally, but I hadn't heard anything.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. What about the Titans? Because the league's got to do something, because they can't have these teams doing this because we're having the arguments that we're having right now. What do you think the league's going to do in terms of the Titans?
I think that the league will probably do what it always does with an investigation, which is take way longer than we think it should take to investigate, and then issue a punishment that is either way too light or way too heavy on the Titans. But, I mean, if they find out that they broke protocol, if they determine that they broke protocol, they will hammer them. And, they're doing $100,000 for not wearing masks on the sidelines for coaches, which I get. Like, I'm pro-mask. I think everybody should wear them. but I don't know.
That's, I mean, the mask thing on the sideline.
That is amazingly cosmetic.
Yeah, that's completely cosmetic.
Completely cosmetic.
But the thing, but Will, and we gotta finish up, but Will, I would argue that they got to get this punishment out quick. The one thing they got to do is punish Tennessee with quick, because they got to, because if Tennessee, according to Pro Football Talk, if Tennessee, they were walking around without masks in the building and everything like that, I mean, they got to be punished now. So,
other,
you know,
teams,
this doesn't happen.
What
yeah,
are they going to run into if they try this anymore?
Because say what you will about me, I'm no dummy. I don't want anyone getting COVID. I mean, you got to do what you can. And if they're just blatantly breaking the rules, they got to be punished swiftly and severely.
Yeah, find out what old GM Clay Travis is doing in that building, and you get on him. And no, I didn't get that joke. That didn't land. That's fine. No, I think that I agree. You gotta don't dilly dally on this. You get somebody in there. You find out. You do the full investigation, and you hammer them. And I don't think they should lose like a first round draft pick over this. And I just think it's a little draconian to strip draft picks, but you gotta find and do whatever you gotta do. I'm not saying you should spend Mike Vrabel or John Robinson for like a long time. I don't know what it is. Like we need to know how bad, like how blatant and how flagrant was their their dismissal of these COVID policies. Did it lead to the Titans, you know, having multiple positives on their roster? Did it lead to basically throwing half of the season into flux and forcing the NFL to change the schedule around? And if that is the case, then you know what? Actually do hit them with the draft pick and do hit them with the suspension. Because if they flaunted the basic protocols for maintaining like a clean environment and preventing COVID from getting inside the building, and it caused havoc on the entire NFL schedule, and now we have a Tuesday. Like I did tell my wife, got Tuesday night football, got to work again tonight. like she's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, no, really, it's the Titans, it's the whole thing. I mean, if they cause the NFL to completely alter its schedule and change the competitive balance of the season, they should be justly punished.
Yeah. All right. So there you go, Will Brinson. You can get him on the Pick Six podcast, CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
See you guys.
All right, take it easy. All right, well, apparently our website's down, the app's down, the Twitch is down. Apparently everything's down.
Really? Awesome. Okay.
Great, because that doesn't affect anything. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and so. There is baseball being played now, but the Red Sox made some moves that got people thinking that maybe a manager is in play. What's going on?
They retained almost all of their coaching staff. They got rid of the bench coach, Jerry Nairn, who was only in for a year, and they got rid of the bullpen coach. But every other person on the staff this year has been asked back without a manager in place. And if I'm coming in from out of the organization, I want to bring in some of my guys that I know that I'm familiar with. It's customary for the manager to be able to pick some of his own guys for his staff. That's not the case here. Red Sox have basically their entire coaching staff from this year back in place, and that's not a mistake. They're going to bring Alex Cora back in. He's going to be the manager of this team. This team desperately needs good press, and if you bring in the guy who managed a team to a 108-win season in a World Series, there is no better way to get the media back on your side, or at least begin to move the needle that way, than to bring Alex Cora back. He's universally loved by his players, the media. He plays well with the media, and I think that this is absolutely the way you go if you're the Red Sox. Now, Chaim Bloom wants to pick some no-name bench coach from Arizona. I'm sure ownership has said to him, nope, that is not happening. They did everything but scream Alex Cora is coming back here next year. And there are tons of people on Twitter and on social media that are overthinking the crap out of this. It's very simple. Alex Cora will have his team in place when he's done with suspension. And there you go. The Red Sox aren't going to be nearly as good next year as they were 2 years ago, but he is the manager of this team.
Those are all great points and valid. I just think that it would be pointless to bring Chaim Bloom here and not let him choose his own manager. Like, he just went a whole season of Ron Renicki, who's probably out now, right? He won't be the
best.
If they bring Cora back, he's the bench coach?
I think Papa Ron slides right back to where he was before. I think what management said to Ron Renicki is, Ron, here's your team. It's terrible. We know it's terrible. Throw yourself on the grenade for this year, and when Alex comes back, we'll give you the bench coach role back. And Papa Ron said, that's okay. I'll watch over the kids for about 4 or 5 months. Ron Renicki is the bench coach next year. Alex Cora is the manager next year. And away we go.
Let me ask you this. I think the Red Sox are tied into so many other things, right? Fenway Sports Group, you name it, whatever's happening with their soccer teams, whatever. Chaim Bloom should run this operation. Look what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing. Look what the Rays are doing. Mm-hmm. His fingerprints are all over that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to tell me that this billion-dollar franchise is going to say, this is going to be our manager, you deal with it? Because I feel like they need what the Rays are. They need to lower the payroll.
How much do you want to lower the payroll to?
Well, I mean, at least next year, like, you'll have JD Martinez back. You're going to have Chris Sale back.
They did what they were supposed to do. They hit the reset button on the luxury tax. Now the mandate for Bloom is go and spend. Here, take 40. Here's $40 million.
Do you think they're going to spend?
Yes, I do.
I think they're going to have to pitching-wise,
even though it's bricks into the Grand Canyon because their staff is in a shambles. You can't possibly fix that staff in 1 year. You don't know what Sale's going to be, and you still don't know what Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be, and that's the top of your rotation.
Yeah, Eduardo Rodriguez, I mean, there's an article in the Globe about him now, and it's, you know, he's got a lot more to worry about than baseball. I mean, they're talking about...
But in a baseball sense, you can't count on him for next year.
No, you can't count on Chris Sale for next year.
No, Sale. So those are supposedly your top two starters.
I mean, if with Sale, I guess if you thought you were going to contend, if you wanted to start him throwing in August, I mean, he's never going to make it through a season again. Not like he was before.
Nope.
But, I mean, he's never going to make it through a season again.
So what they brought Chaim Bloom in here to do was to do more with less, meaning you're not going to, unless you finish as badly as the Red Sox do, Bloom has the fourth overall pick drop in his lap. Theoretically, he should get a guy who's going to be here in 2 or 3 years and really succeed. Mm. But ultimately, they're going to have Bloom, because the pitching staff is in such shambles, look under every rock and try and find the next guy like Fairbanks for Tampa Bay, who relieved yesterday. And their closer, who almost threw up on himself but still managed to finish the game. You're going to have to bring in guys like that. Guys you've never heard of before that can throw 97. That's the mandate for Chaim Bloom, to go get guys like that to help your team out, because he did it with Tampa Bay.
While we're at it, I think Chaim Bloom needs to choose his own guy. But to your point, ownership probably is going to say, this is what we're doing.
We need to win the media is what we need to do. That's so, Tom Werner's first phone call.
So what's going on with this Billy Beane thing? Sounds like it has nothing to do with baseball whatsoever. It's just a future.
Well, they're going public, the whole Fenway
and they're
thing.
Merging with a company that Beane runs. So if you merge with a company that Beane runs, Beane can't hold a stake in the Red Sox and the Athletics. So he has to divest himself of at least one, and it sounds like he's divesting himself of both and just going to run the organization.
Who thought of being the original baseball nerd who also likes to kill it in the gym during games was going to pay off? I mean, now he's got to be he's kicking around hundreds of millions of dollars, I would imagine, Mr. Beane. If you're going into a public merger like that, whatever his little thing is, I mean, not only is he got Brad Pitt playing him in the movie, knocking it out during the games, he can't be bothered out there on the field. He goes by Sabres with the metrics. Him and Bill James pretty soon are going to be president of the United States. Give me the stat nerds doing everything. Billy Beane's not your dad's stat
nerd. Everyone at MIT just woke up and said, I feel a strange disturbance in the forest.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that Chris Rucker's favorite story is that, yeah, dude, totally. One time Billy Beane, A's were in town. His daughter wanted to see NoFX. Hooked him up. Took him to the show. Went to a punk show with him. Cool guy. Billy Bean. Yes, Billy Bean. rocking the guitar. You get him up here, he'd play guitar for you. Him and the Gam Man. Him and Theo Epstein.
Theo, yeah.
The Ruck imitation is spot on. I know no one else gets that but me, but it's really good.
Fred, I get it. Totally. Billy Bean was a good guy. He's exactly, he sounds exactly like Rome. You know what I mean?
Almost. He does.
You know, whatever. Billy was cool, know what I mean? But, like, well, no one knows who Rucker
is. Do some hockey talk. Like, there was no better conversation than hallway hockey talk with Rucker.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bees doing nothing.
Bees are doing nothing. Dude, like, you know what I mean? Like, Terrell Hall, like, whatever. Like, there was that draft, know what I mean? And no one knows who Chris Rucker is. It's all on deaf ears. But yes, I would imagine that. Maybe they hired Bloom. Maybe they'll let him just take the keys.
We'll get that bench coach that no one's ever heard of from Arizona. God willing.
Good.
It'd be great.
Make him the bench coach.
Let's hire a no-name guy. Perfect.
Well, Lord knows you have to have, an incredible amount of knowledge to manage an AL team, especially in the AL East.
Well, it's a National League too, babe. Now the National League's got the DH too.
I know.
Look, the Rays are up 2-0 over the Astros. That everyone wanted to see implode, and they're right there. But that Rays team is Heim Bloom's team. That is Heim Bloom's team.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got two teams that built through the draft. You got two teams that had to be very smart, that had to get young. I mean, the Astros are just reaping. I mean, I know they got Verlander and stuff. I know, and I know Verlander's hurt. But I know that they, made a couple moves, but obviously that core is, what they
developed. They were bad for about 3 years so they could load up and had their payroll of like $10 million.
Well, remember when their payroll was less than like what certain guys were making?
Yes, the payroll was under $25 million.
Yes.
A couple of years in there, and people accused them of tanking and their stain on the sport of baseball. Look what happened. They drafted well. They did well in the international market, and the cheating is the cheating, but the talent, at least before the cheating, was supposedly very, very good.
Yeah.
Do you think John Lester would come back here?
We've talked about this. That's another thing the Red Sox are going to do. If the Cubs decide not to ask him back, and if Theo Epstein moves on, I think Lester moves on also. The Red Sox are going to sign John Lester. They're going to throw a lot of money at John Lester. He's 36, 37.
If you're Lester, why do you come
back here,
though?
Give him a man, because the Red Sox are going to offer more money than anyone else.
He'd be, like, lauded. I think he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I definitely
do. I don't think so.
Well, he's won multiple championships.
Well, Jack Morris didn't get in until the Veterans Committee, so there's no way that Lester should get in.
I disagree with that take. But
I don't know.
You talk about winning the media. Go look up his numbers. You talk about winning the media. This is another thing. Warner's on the phone. We need good press. We need good publicity. Go get John Lester. Pay him $15 or $16 million and bring him back here. Have him start opening day with all the other pitchers we have heard. John Lester will be this team's opening day starter, and they're going to say, "Isn't it a great story?" After we lowballed him, he kissed, he made up with the organization. You know, he's going to be here. He's going to be a rolling instructor.
People will be interested for 1 minute.
Well, that's what the Red Sox are going to be grasping at next year because they're coming off a horrendous season. They need to bring back a manager everybody likes, and they need to bring back a pitcher that everybody likes.
And I agree with you that they will make an overture. Even though Bloom, it would just kill him to have to do that because it's just incinerating money.
Yeah, because he won't be able to look under a rock and find a guy who's selling hot dogs out there to start for him.
Well, also say Lester wins 10 games and all it does is hurt your draft pick. I mean, you're essentially playing for nothing next season.
So Lester has 193 wins.
Not even close to
being good. No. I get you. On statistics-wise, you look at it, he's not a Hall of Famer. But he's won multiple championships, was a good postseason performer.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to use that Schilling argument, but...
Well, Schilling won, what, about 10 or 15 more games than Lester, has a better postseason record, and isn't in.
And Lester was very good in the postseason.
What's his record in the postseason?
All right, Jack Morris, let's stop the conversation here. It took the Veterans Committee to get Jack Morris, and Jack Morris won 254 games and was the best pitcher on two World Series teams and has one of the best World Series postseason performances of all time.
John Lester is not close.
No, he is not.
This is a Red Sox fan. John Lester is not close.
No.
Again, my opinion.
No.
He's not close.
On paper, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
And by the way, Jack Morris was the World Series MVP four times?
That can't be right.
That can't be right.
No. I would say twice.
Oh, no, once. He was a five-time All-Star, three-times World Series.
I mean, it's 80. He was 84. He was on the team in 84, right? 84, and the year they beat
Twins
Minnesota.
And the Blue Jays.
The year they beat Minnesota beat Atlanta in Game 7, where Morris threw 10 shutout innings.
Yeah, he was on the Blue Jays, he was on the Tigers, and he was on the Twins. Or he was on the Twins twice. Did they win the... He won 21 games for Toronto. And won the... He was fifth in the Cy Young vote.
Okay.
Always.
Yeah, another thing with Lester, he won 19 games twice, never won 20. Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
I know, but 19 just...
19 games.
There are a lot of pitchers who would...
Always.
His 5.16 ERA wasn't good this year.
That's not good.
The Red Sox will overpay to bring him here.
All right. We'll be back. We will be back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The headline.
Now, for Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich and Johnny Wall game. What is keep lining in your pockets, boy.
Stack is sponsored by Window Nation, Fred. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. There's a new iPhone coming out.
Okay.
Apparently. Which my wife got my son. Here's what happened. My son smashed his phone. I don't know how it happened. He didn't do it deliberately, but he somehow smashed his phone. And my wife, in her infinite wisdom, went out and took him to a store to buy a new iPhone, the brand new iPhone, which then I went back to the store because when they got home, I was like, this is BS. He's not getting a new phone. He's not getting rewarded for breaking his old phone. So he can have my phone, and I'll take his phone. But when I went back to the store, it wasn't an Apple store, but when I went back to the store, they said that they couldn't do it because it would come up as fraud. They said that if they switched our cards, that it would like report the phone stolen or something.
Okay.
So they would not do that.
I can kind of understand where that
it
logic
seems
is
like
from.
You would be able to go like, well, it's not stolen, but I didn't feel like dealing with it. I was just so frustrated that I swore and left. Yeah, I just swore and left because I was just like, this is unbelievable. It's like a $700 phone, $600 phone. I'm like, you just handed a kid $700 worth of phone for no reason. Like, and I can't switch it up with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then apparently when they got the phone, you were supposed to get an Apple Watch thrown in, but my wife was like, oh, we don't want the Apple Watch because we don't want to give it to my son. And I'm like, I want the Apple Watch. So I guess she went back, and then they said, well, they were out of stock of the Apple Watch, so they couldn't get the Apple Watch right now. So apparently I have an Apple Watch somewhere coming to one of us. None of us is going to use it, but apparently that's coming around.
Sure.
Because the last thing I need is an Apple Watch around one of my kids' wrists, a computer around one of their wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love to track their sleep, that would be a big thing for me, is to be able to track their sleep. Do you have that on their phones where you can track them where they are?
I do not. My kids don't have phones yet.
Okay, because we gave my son a phone because he goes out on his own now.
Right.
So you can track them.
We're right on that edge. My kids are 11, so we're right about there.
Yeah,
but
he
not
got
yet.
Fifth grade, like tail end of fifth grade is when he got his phone because he started going to school by himself and started.
Right.
Or was it sixth grade? Okay. It might have been the summer going into sixth grade because he was taking the bus to school.
Yeah, we're about a year behind you. My kids are taking the bus to school for the first time.
Yeah, because you have to take the city bus where we are in Newton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's, you know, hard scrabble. They don't let the school buses come by us.
Like the real city bus? Like MBTA?
Yes, the MBTA.
Oh, like the 550. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you have to take the MBTA bus over there to the middle school, which it's pointless now because obviously they can't let the kids in.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much. It's too much. Far too dangerous to do a hybrid. But my daughter is in school today.
Oh, good.
Because
for you.
She's in elementary school, which apparently is the elementary school they can do. It's too much to ask for the middle school to do it. There's too much moving around. Logistically, it's impossible.
Because as we all know, the second graders are far more diligent about spreading germs than middle school kids.
And it's odd because I think the kindergartners are in 5 days a week. But my daughter's in fourth grade, so she's in 2 days a week. And my son's in seventh grade, and he's in never.
Huh.
Unless my wife like goes, can you just take him for the day? And sometimes they'll just take him. And he gets to go in.
And do what?
I don't know.
He just kind of sits there in an empty classroom?
I don't know. I don't know. But no. It's like structure. I don't know what happens. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
All I know is that it's not good.
Yeah.
That now is not the time to be a middle schooler. That is not the most ideal situation. So I'm interested to see what this new iPhone 12 is, because the iPhone 11 essentially was just a better camera.
Yes.
As opposed to what?
I don't know.
How often do you look at the pictures? Like, do you ever use Shutterfly where they develop the photos for you if you put them in, like, a photo album or something?
I haven't done that, no.
All right, so we used Shutterfly for a long time because we had photo albums and we would make Christmas cards and stuff.
Sure.
And so occasionally they'll send an email out and they'll go, like, memories. And then you'll click on it and I'll feel wistful and nostalgic, mm-hmm. and then it will go away and then I won't look at the photos again.
Yeah.
So, you know... I mean, what good's the camera going to do?
The photos on my phone, I may look at once every 6 months, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, you take them and you look at, right after you take the pictures, you're like, oh, it's nice. But then they disappear. I got tons of pictures on my phone, but it's not like I ever thumb through them and go back to like Christmas 2 years ago and go, wow.
All I know is when the cloud goes down, I'm out all these pictures. That I'm relying on a lot of stuff I don't understand. I just know when you get a new phone and you put in your code that all the information downloads onto your phone, but the minute that goes away, I'm screwed. And all these memories are kaput.
No.
All these memories that I have. But I am trying, like I said earlier, I said in the 6 o'clock hour, I have an app on my phone which tracks how long you haven't been drinking, and you kind of give them an estimate of how much you were spending per day on alcohol. And when I say per day, not necessarily that you were drinking every day, but you're kind of approximating like how much you would spend in a week and dividing that by seven. So I am doing nothing on the weekends. My social life is youth sports during the day on the weekends, and then at night I got nothing to do. So I am in the market for making a purchase, but I want to make sure it's a purchase of something that I am going to use.
You got the Peloton, right?
Well, my wife uses the Peloton every day. So the Peloton's paying for itself. The Peloton is being used. The Peloton was not a waste of money.
New video game system, perhaps?
I mean, I'll get the PS5 when it comes out, but that's not enough. I play the MLB baseball, but it takes too long.
The show,
but then
show's
you have
a good game.
Yeah, but then you have to earn like points to get to be able to play people, and then when you play people, it's a nine-inning game, and that takes 2 hours, and then ultimately something will come up where I can't finish the game.
You can do stuff offline, Fred. You know, you become the GM. Draft players. You know, simulate games. See if you're any good.
Nah, you got to play against kids and let them know that you're better than them.
See, you need the headphones on to swear at a 10-year-old in Nebraska.
We do not have the headphones. My son has that whole situation going on upstairs, but he doesn't use it anymore.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I was thinking about getting the turntable and getting an audiophile set up, because I followed the guy on Instagram that all he does is show the albums that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so passionate about it that I thought that I would be the same. But then when I look it shows how you have to, if you buy a good turntable, that you have to actually put it together and calibrate things.
I can't.
And then I don't like that.
See, that's the thing. And you talked about this in the 6 o'clock hour. And having a turntable is nice. It's nostalgia, you know, but back, put the wax on, whatever the case may be. If it takes longer than 5 minutes, I'm out.
Yes, I have no desire to.
I can't. I have no, even technology. You talk about mounting television sets or hooking up your cable or doing whatever, putting together a new piece of equipment, even you know, buying a new laptop. If it takes longer than 5 minutes to get it set up and to download things, I get immediately frustrated.
Well, when you have to calibrate something like a turntable, what it says to me is that the entire time I have it, I'm going to feel that I did it wrong. So I'll never be able to enjoy the music. First of all, the idea of me sitting down and like listening to music, like sitting down listening to music, is ridiculous.
Yeah, music is something you do. Listening to music is something you do while you're doing something else.
Yes.
Whether it be driving or cooking dinner or feeding the kids or, you know, you're out in the backyard drinking beer, whatever. In another life, drinking beer. But the point is,
how dare you create a scenario where you're consuming alcohol? But yes. Like the idea that I would take my third floor and put a record player up there and sit and listen to records.
No one does that.
No, what I would
Nobody
do
does that.
Is I would spend a lot of money on getting the turntables. I would then spend a lot of money on records. I would listen to a record. I would assume that I had screwed up everything and then never listen to anything again.
How many movies have you seen where you got the guy listening to his song and he's kicking back, he's in the chair, he's smoking a cigarette or drinking wine or whatever, and just listening to classical music or how many movies have we seen like that?
Yes.
That never happens in real life.
No.
Ever.
No.
No one does that. And if you do that, you're a psycho who has no life.
But it's just this guy is so passionate about these records and he buys, you know, the Japanese import of, you know, and then a reissue, and then he compares them sonically, and then he tells you what the best sounding one is, and he just loves it so much.
Passion
just liking something that much, liking something that doesn't involve someone else, something that you could just do on your own. That is, that would be something that would be fantastic.
We got an update on testing for the Patriots. Second straight day, no new positive tests for the Patriots. And the Patriots still on track to play Sunday against Denver, and at the moment on track to have practice tomorrow.
Oh,
it all depends on testing in the morning, but back-to-back, all negative tests for the Patriots.
So I guess I was a fool. They really shouldn't have played last night. It would have endangered everyone. My bad for having that take. Boy, there's egg on my face.
I don't
the
know.
Fact that they could have conceivably played that game and no one
Fred,
would have gotten
you're
sick.
A terrible person. You should think about your actions.
Yes.
You're an anti-masker.
That's right. I am all those things. I'm an ass man. I'm an ass man above all. I mean, that's the big hobby. Is looking at two turd cutters just walking down the road. Well, Joe Murray, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it. Maybe you'll be in tomorrow. Maybe you won't be.
So many asses, so little.
You know what? You're like the Patriots. You don't know if you're playing or not.
That's right.
It's time to call. You got to get your union on the horn and start demanding some more action.
Yeah.
Because you might not know until tonight if you're coming in tomorrow.
That's right. I might not know.
You'll be living your life like you could sleep in.
I'll have my helmet on, ready to go.
And then the next thing you know, you're up at 4 in the morning with no show to go to.
Right.
It's really unfair. It's really unfair. Oh, these poor NFL players. It's so unfair. My problem is you and your stupid television station turning on the screens while we're in the middle of a radio program.
To promote the program.
That's right.
To who exactly? To who exactly?
To 50 people on Twitch. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Enjoy Scott Zolak. He's talking loud for the first time in like 6 months. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.